When Genevieve Smith, shocked into action by her best friend Marguerite's decline, also handed in her resignation on 20th of February 1924, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Veit, the vice president, was ordered to find out why Genevieve was leaving, and she cited Dr. Barry's ultimatum. The dentist was persisting with his outlandish claims. The lack of operators was a big concern to the company, but there was another worrying development about the same time that really made them sit up and take note of what was happening to their former employees. For more than 3 years, Grace Vincent, Hazel's mother, had been watching her daughter suffer. Hazel was in constant agony. No mother could bear it. Dr. Bloom had said there was no hope now, and Mrs. Vincent had nothing to lose. She went down to the studio in Orange and left a letter there. In it, she told the firm she was about to make a claim for compensation on account of her daughter's illness. That got their attention. At once, Veit reported these developments to the New York headquarters. Not long after, USRC executives decided to launch an investigation to determine if there was anything dangerous in the work. For too long, there had been rumour and suspicion. It couldn't continue. After all, now it was bad for business. Chapter 12. In a sign of how seriously the company was taking the downturn in its operations, President Arthur Roeder himself took charge of the investigation. In March 1924, he approached Dr. Cecil K. Drinker, Professor of Physiology at the Harvard School of Public Health, and asked him if he would conduct a study at the Orange plant. Drinker was a qualified MD, as well as a recognised authority in occupational disease. Roeder was taking no chances, but bringing in the very best. To Drinker, Roeder wrote, "We must determine definitely and finally if the material is in any way harmful." To Roeder's delight, Drinker found his letter very interesting and offered to meet him in April for further discussion. Roeder told him of two cases, one fatal, probably Irene Rudolph, and one very much improved. Roeder emphasised knowingly of the latter. "I have been informed that her family have had considerable tubercular trouble." In response, Drinker advised that we are inclined to feel. Drinker worked with his equally brilliant wife, Dr. Catherine Drinker, and another doctor called Dr. Castle, that the two occurrences which you mention have been coincidences. However, he added, "At the same time, we are agreed that it is not at all safe to permit any conviction upon that point without a rather complete examination." In April 1924, the study would begin. It is not wholly clear who Roeder meant by his very much improved case. It was probably Marguerite Carlo, since she was the woman who had left his employ most recently, although, in fact, she was still greatly suffering. But it could also have been Grace Fryer, who was finally reaping the benefits of the expensive medical care she was paying for. Dr. Humphreys was still examining her once a week to see how her strapped back and feet were doing. Now, at last, he was happy to note she was improving. Humphreys, however, had care only of Grace's body, and it was her jaw that was now becoming her major source of pain. The same month Roeder wrote to Drinker, Grace was admitted to hospital in New York for a week-long stay. Her latest round of X-rays showed a chronic infectious process in the jaw, and she sought treatment from Dr. Francis McCaffrey, a specialist, who operated on her, excising some of her jawbone. As Kniff and Barry had found, however, once an operation had been carried out, another was needed, and then another after that. "I have been compelled to go to the hospital so often," Grace later said, "that it seems like a second home."